Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I am enjoying enormously, as I hope you are, a very interesting, thought-provoking, and incredibly insightful conversation with Michel Gerfinkel. He is, among other things, a journalist of great renown in his native France, including as a result of his service as the editor-in-chief of Valeur Actuelle, a position he now holds as an emeritus editor. He is also very active in the think tank business. He founded and is president of the Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute, a conservative think tank in France, as well as associated with the highly regarded Middle East Forum in the United States as one of its Shulman Ginsberg Fellows. You can find his writings, among other places, at Commentary and PJ Media and American Interest here. He has numerous books. Unfortunately, they have not been translated into English. This is a shame that needs to be remedied, including Can Israel Endure? The Return of Russia. And a new book that is coming out entitled Theo Revolution, which we await with great expectation. Michel Gerfinkel, again, thank you so much for your generous time today. I do want to pick up on something that you were exploring before the break, and perhaps challenge you a little on it. In this country, as you know, back in the early 1990s, a prominent Muslim Brotherhood operative by the name of Muhammad Akram wrote a memorandum back to the Muslim Brotherhood headquarters about how the brothers were doing in the United States some 30 years after they had begun building infrastructure and operations here with the Muslim Student Association. And Muhammad Akram's so-called explanatory memorandum on the general strategic goal of the group in North America fell into government hands in 2004 through surely providential intervention, and was introduced into evidence in the largest terrorism financing trial in U.S. history here, the Holy Land Foundation trial. And what Muhammad Akram's explanatory memorandum makes pretty clear is that the piece of this that you described being promoted by their spiritual leader, the Muslim Brotherhood of Yusuf al-Qaradawi, of so-called peaceful jihad, or what Akram called civilization jihad, isn't peaceful because that's preferred. It's peaceful, or I think of it really as pre-violent, because it's setting the stage for decisive victory through violence during a period when the violence simply would not be practicable. The brothers and the Islamic supremacist movement isn't strong enough to achieve the desired goals of the domination of the world by Sharia and so on. Just yet, it has to be cultivated, and by using stealthy means, that can be done in the West. And I just wonder, would you explore that proposition, that it's not sort of an either-or, but it's a necessary stage to get to the desired end state of violent conquest?
Well, I try to be very specific. There is one question that was asked Qaradawi, given the fact that he took a very lenient view towards the existence of Islam and the Western way of life. So he was asked whether suicide attacks against Israeli civilians was permissible under Sharia, under Islamic law. And this man, who again has a reputation of being a moderate, of holding lenient views, said, yes, it is perfectly permissible to undertake suicide attacks against or any other terrorist attacks against Israeli civilians, because there is a complete consensus among Muslims that Israel is an enemy of Islam. So we are here in a situation where a man who a leader, a spiritual leader, who is widely respected and who is held as being extremely moderate as compared to the people from the Islamic State, for instance, this leader, in fact, says that it's enough that there is a consensus among Muslims, whatever it means, to turn from a civilized jihad and a peaceful jihad to a complete terrorist and merciless strategy against the civilians. We are not talking about the military, but the civilians of Israel, because they are supposed to be the enemies of Islam. So any time there is what they call a consensus of Muslims to say that one country is the enemy of Islam, it can be Israel, it can be the United States, as we saw, for instance, of course, in 2001 with the attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. So anytime a country is deemed to be the enemy of Islam, even the moderate fundamentalists agree that we reverse to violent jihad and to merciless jihad.
But so here's the thing, Michel.
A very troubling instance.
Well, 2 points. One is, as we talked about earlier, it isn't really so much that it's a country versus another country. It is the Dar al-Harb. It is the non-Muslim world that is not permitted to resist or engage in fitna against the God-ordained, you know, order of things, namely the triumph of Sharia, the rule of a caliphate, if you will, and that those who are seeking to fulfill God's will, the Sharia adherent faithful, whether they are of the Muslim Brotherhood or the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or Boko Haram or unaffiliated with any organization, it is still their duty to achieve through whatever means are at hand, whatever form of jihad is available to them and practicable, to advance, you know, this God's will. So if that's the case, and I take it we do agree that it is, this puts into a very sharp relief, it seems to me, what's taking place in Europe. And I want to broaden the lens with you beyond what we've been discussing of this attack and so on, to visit Michel Gerfinkel with you about the hijra, as I think it's best described, the migration that has been taking place in the past year, the geographic repopulating, if you will, of Europe by Muslim masses, a million plus so far, and perhaps another million or three, we're told, in the offing in Turkey. From the perspective that you have at the Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute in Paris, for example, how does this look and where is it headed?
Well, I'm convinced, and I've been convinced for many years, that we are witnessing a completely unprecedented situation. And one should take it as realistically as possible. I believe that the Western countries are undergoing a demographic crisis and cannot and have to resist the influx of vast immigrant populations that do not share at all their values in terms of civilization or in terms of human rights or politics or religious freedom, and etc. So I think this is extremely important, and I believe that it has been simply criminal on the part of both the intellectual and the political establishment of the Western countries, not to discuss this matter frankly and honestly.
Let alone do the right thing about it. Michelle, pause with me for one more moment. We're going to come back for segment four of this very special conversation with Michelle Gerfinkel right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.